And in a week from now, he will have, in memory, he will have been crucified, put in the tomb, and risen again. Can you imagine what kind of a week that was? To go from being exalted and elevated and praised to being condemned and accused and abused to carrying the sins, the sorrows, the pain, and the sickness of the world in your body on the cross, to being laid in the tomb and then coming forth in victory. A week in the life? Wow. So I've chosen this morning to focus quite a bit on the whole thing of Pilate. And I see this as in this light. We often say that Jesus was on trial before Pilate. Jesus was not on trial. His road was mapped, and he was only walking in his assignment. Pilate was on trial. The Jews were on trial. And you and I are on trial. I found it interesting in Luke here, the passage that we have, there's three times that Pilate asked him questions. The first one is, are you the king of the Jews? The second one, it says that he questioned him with many words. It doesn't say what he was asking him, doesn't say what the questions were, just says he questioned him with many words. And the third one, he is to the chief priests and the rulers, why? They said, crucify him, crucify him. Why? What evil has he done? And I find it interesting, he actually makes three declarations, and all three times the declaration is the same. I find no fault in him. This is wrong, this is, you guys are barking up the wrong tree. No. Somebody get Acts 3:13. There's something I find very interesting here, and we're gonna get into this. In 1 John, or in John, the Gospel of John, it says, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So John is talking about how the light came to earth. Jesus Christ, the light, the life, came to earth. And he says, men didn't receive him. Men didn't want connection with him because their deeds were evil and they loved darkness rather than light. And then the scriptures tell us that for envy, the Jews had given Jesus over to Pilate. For envy. And then the scriptures also tell us that if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. For such wisdom is earthly, sensual, devilish. You see what's happening here? Here's Pilate. He's trying to get these guys to see legally what they are doing. Pilate's not a moral man by any means. So he's not appealing to the Jews on the basis of morality. He's appealing to them on the basis of legality. Did somebody get Acts 3:13? What does it say? What does that say at the end? But it says Pilate had decided to release him. And if you read, we often don't pick up on all of this, but if you read this account carefully, it looks on the surface like Pilate is being really hard on Jesus. But it actually, underneath, it feels like Pilate is doing the things he's doing so that these Jewish leaders will actually take some pity and see that what they're doing is not right. It's not legal. And so Peter, when he's preaching there and heals the lame man, he says Pilate had determined or decided that he was going to release Jesus. And so he is taking steps to release Jesus, and the Jews just come down harder and harder and harder. And what is going on here is what I described. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So the reason that the scribes and Pharisees and the chief priests were in this thing of getting Jesus crucified was because their deeds were evil. Now, what particular deed did I just quote from the scripture that they were involved in? Envy. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus? What did he tell Jesus? When he came and he started to ask Jesus questions, what did he tell Jesus? You remember? We know you're a teacher come from God, because nobody can do these things that you're doing unless God's with him. Well, wait a minute. Something's not adding up here. Nicodemus is saying, we know you're a teacher come from God. And the chief priests and the rulers are saying, crucify him, crucify him. He made himself God. That's blasphemous. Whenever we choose darkness over light, lies over truth, sin over righteousness in our inside of us, we set ourselves up to be in the same place where things were here with Pilate, with Jesus, with the chief priest. Well, he did in a sense, but right, yeah, he was stating something that was legally true, but not morally true. So, all right. Now, just kind of a side question here. What is the significance of three? You know, Luke is, remember why he's writing? I wrote these things, Theophilus, to set in order the things that happened. And in doing that, he's trying to be very meticulous in his detail and in his chronology. And it's interesting, I don't have an answer here. I just wondered what's the significance of the fact that here in Luke, different a bit than the other Gospels, Luke asks these three questions and makes these three declarations. Now, this is not in our scripture in Luke, but Glenford read it there in John. And the infamous question that Pilate asked Jesus is, what is truth? That's an important question. Where does truth originate? What's the origin of truth? This is some pretty heavy thinking here. So, okay, truth has to. Okay, why do you say that? Why do you give that answer?
He was the creator, and he, like back in the garden, he created right and wrong.
Okay. Yeah. There's some questions there that we could talk about that we're not going to go to right now. But, Danny, what were you going to say?
God is truth. God is truth.
Okay.
Satan is a liar.
Right. Danny?
I think God had truth standing in front of it.
Okay.
I don't know the passage, but the word is truth.
Okay. Let me pose this to you. Whenever we ask a wrong question, we get a wrong answer. We always have to start by asking the right question. The right question, I'm just throwing this out here. The right question here is, who is truth? You think about that a little bit. Truth has to have its origin. Somebody mentioned that God is truth. Truth has to have its origin in a person. And that person has to be truth. And so Jesus came and he said, I am what? The truth. I am the truth. And he said, I came to show you the Father. The Father is truth, and I'm truth. And I'm here showing you truth. Okay? Okay, we'll get there. We're going there. Is truth hard to find or to understand? You look at our world, and it's obvious that the given answer is yes. Truth is hard to find. truth is hard to understand. What's true for you is not true for me, and what's true here is not true there, and we have to work terribly hard to find truth. That's the message from our world. But that begs the question of where truth comes from. So if it's up to us to find truth, then that makes it very difficult to find and to understand. But if truth has come to us, then all we have to do is receive it. Can truth be known? The Bible talks quite a bit about knowing the truth. What is the guarantor of truth? In other words, you say, this is truth. How can you prove that? Okay, but there is a proof. There's a proof that we'll get there a little bit more next Sunday when we think about resurrection. There is a proof of the reality of all things. And what is that? Eternality. If it's eternal, that guarantees truth. You see, everything else is here and now. It's limited. It has beginning and ending. Truth has no beginning. It has no ending. Truth is eternal. And God is eternal. Christ is eternal. And when we understand that, then we're on our way to understanding truth. Now, here's something I want us to understand. And this lesson really brings this out. And I want you to just be thinking about all of this. We live on earth. We have a choice of realities in our senses, in our spirit, or we can choose truth. On earth are demons, evil spirits, all these little dark creatures that are running around doing havoc and so on. Above the earth is the second heaven. Well, the heavens as part of the sky and so on, the clouds and that kind of thing here on earth. The second heaven is the legal realm of Satan, the prince and power of the air. In this realm, there are only lies. There is no reality. Everything is counterfeit. There is no truth. None. Zero. In that level are Satan and principalities and powers that overrule across the earth. And we understand that exists between earth and heaven. And just to reference that, Daniel, when he was praying and Gabriel came to him and said, I was trying to get here for 21 days, but the prince of Persia withstood me. I had to have help to get through. I came from up here, and I was coming down to earth. Okay? Then we have the third heaven, where the presence of God is. There is absolute truth. And it's interesting, in the Greek, the word truth and reality are the same word. There are not two different words in the Greek for truth and reality. It's the same word. But there is absolute truth, reality. There is no lie. There is no darkness. There is no falsehood. James says there's not even a shadow of turning. There's not even a hint of any of that kind of thing. There is life. There is love. There is light. There the Holy Spirit exists, and angels, God's angels exist. Now, I want you to think about this in relation to Jesus before Pilate and what level things were operating on. Jesus was here on earth. What level was he operating on? He was operating on the reality of heaven, right? That reality, that level of existence. Even though he had humbled himself, became a man, and was living here on earth, the reality that he lived under was the reality of truth. The true reality. That's where he lived. Where were the chief priests and the Jewish leaders? Where were they living? They were living under earth's reality, but they were under the influence of the darkness, right? They had allowed this darkness into their hearts because they did not accept the truth. Did not accept truth, the reality. So let's just think about this some more. How does the Lord's Prayer help us to understand these realities? Jesus said, when you pray this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So you and I, as subjects of the King, can choose on this earth to live in that reality. We can desire that reality, the reality of truth, of life and love and light and truth. Or we can choose to live in darkness. If our deeds are evil and we continue to keep those deeds within us, John says, we're not his. We need to come to the light, let our deeds be exposed, let them be cleansed at the cross, and enter into life and light. Now, what was the mood in the second heaven as these things unfolded? As Judas betrayed Jesus, as he was brought to trial, as Pilate was operating, as the chief priests were operating, what was the mood in the second heaven?
Party time,
absolutely. They were just going nuts. We're finally going to win. We're finally going to vindicate what God has done against us. So on. So how did that mood swing as the resurrection happened? All of a sudden it was altogether different, wasn't it? The party was over. And the scripture tells us very plainly that had the princes of darkness known what they were doing, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Did they get sent to their final destination?
Was it the seal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because in death, Jesus defeated death. The scriptures tell us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death is not destroyed, it's defeated. It will be destroyed at the last resurrection. Death will be done. It will be over. Now, let me ask you something. I think this is an interesting question. Did realities change for Jesus at any time through this experience? Did Jesus ever move from the level of truth and life and ultimate reality to any other level? No, absolutely not. Even in the darkest moment, even when he felt forsaken by his Father, he did not leave the realities of where he came from. Had he left those, he would have not been the perfect sacrifice. Make sense? Now, I'd like to just have you just any questions that are coming to your mind, anything that's going on here that's maybe something you're not understanding, maybe something that's turning in your head here. Speak up. Mm-hmm.
And I should have this sooner if you could repeat it, but it's toward the end about envy, and I don't know, I can't remember.
Okay, you're talking about the scripture, or I made a statement regarding it? Because the scripture that I gave was that for envy the Jews delivered him. And then the following scripture was, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Such wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's in that second realm.
Envy
what? Well, it's a wisdom, it's a false wisdom. The wisdom of envy and strife, and humanly, that's a wise way to operate, right? So there's wisdom that is from the ultimate reality, from truth, and then there's wisdom that's from the earth, or from the dark level. So he says this wisdom isn't from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's in the lower levels. And that's where these Jewish leaders were operating. They were operating in these lower levels. They were not operating under truth and right and love and light and love and life. That does that make sense? Yeah, because there'll be no more death. You won't escape. You won't escape suffering through death. Yeah. Death will be gone. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your discussion.